The following audio is from Covenant Life Fellowship. For more information about our church, please visit us at www.clfroseburg.com.
Oh, it's good to see your smiling faces. Thank you all. Many of you have said that you have been praying for me, and I appreciate that a great deal, because what I want to share this morning comes from an extremely personal place of where the Lord has met me over and over and over again. And as I have shared with many of you and asked you questions at times, you have shared with me the faithfulness of God in your lives too. It's evident. We share it with each other. It's what we have in common as sisters in Christ, what God is at work doing in our lives, and He faithfully accomplishes it over and over again. So when there's a slide up there that says, He, in every season, He is faithful. I don't know if it made it up there or not. There it is. Okay. In every season, when I have said, some of you have asked me, what are you going to speak about? And I have said, in every season, He is faithful. And there is a look that comes across each one of your faces as I say that. And I can tell that it takes you to a place that you are affirming in your own spirit that, yes, God has met me someplace in a season. And not many times do we refer to those seasons as good places, good seasons. When something as happy is happening in our lives or we're joyful, we often look to the attribute of our God as good in that moment. He's good to us. He's our provider. But many times when we look at seasons of our lives, we're referring to times that He's met us in difficult places. It may be something so simple as He's met us in coming home with a newborn and we're not really sure what to do with all of that. That's a true season. That is tough. And like Pam was referring, we have sleepless nights when our children are sick, when our husbands are burdened with things. That's a season. Right now, Covenant Life Fellowship is in the middle of starting to celebrate baseball season. And we are going to hear about baseball season a lot. I think Lori and Keller and I are only about 10 days away from opening day. And our sweet teams face each other on opening day. That's a season too. We document seasons by times of the year. But today, when I refer to seasons, what we're going to talk about is times in our lives when we know that God is there in the midst of our difficulty. There are hard seasons, and I can look across at all of your faces, and most of you that I know well, there have been hard seasons that He has met us in, that He's meeting us in right now. And what I hope this morning is that our time together will be a time of encouragement, that we look to not in the moment that we're in, not in the season that we're in, but in the faithfulness of our God to meet us there, because He will do that. He promises to do that. So this morning, if you would stand with me for a moment, and we're going to read together Lamentations 3:22-26. And we're going to declare from God's word His faithfulness to us. All right. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that this morning I know that You are going to meet us here. Lord, I have spent so much time with You in this. I know our ladies have spent time with You rehearsing Your faithfulness in their lives. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we discuss the beauty of Your work in our lives and the power of Your word and the glory of our God, Father, that You would remind us over and over and over again, each one of us in our own private place this morning. Father, let us see Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. There's a quote by Spurgeon that I have hung on to many, many times, and it goes like this. God is too good to be unkind, and he is too wise to be mistaken. And we can't, and when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. When we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. We just finished reading in Lamentations what the heart of our God looks like, didn't we? He's steadfast, he's merciful, he's faithful, he's good, and he is our Savior. Being faithful, what does that mean to us? We don't live in a faithful culture. We do not. People's words don't matter anymore. A handshake is not something we consider as an exchange of a deal. Marriages are unfaithful. Friends, employers betray us. Faithfulness is not evident in our culture, but it is in our God. And what it means is that he is true to his word, and he will do what he says he will do over and over again. He will keep his promises to us. We know that. You can all sit here and I can say, does he keep his word to you? And you will nod your head at me and say, yes, he does. And you will think back to a time when you know that he has, when you have cried out to him and he has met you there. He has kept his promise to you. So as we look at the heart of our God and we see that he is steadfast, merciful, faithful, good, he is our Savior. First and foremost, the way that he has been most faithful to us is that he has saved us. He always forgives us. Like Pam was speaking to, a penalty that was ours to pay, we did not have to pay. He did it for us. He is our Savior. But what do we do in those moments when we know his heart? We know his heart, but we can't trace his hand. We can't understand what he's doing. It doesn't make any sense what's happening. And we tend to look to that. It's a circumstance that we're in. We're drawn into. And it's hurting us deeply. And this is the point that Linda was referring to. That there was a time in my life that I had to trust his heart when I couldn't see his hand. I knew his hand was there because I know who my God is, but I couldn't understand what he was doing. What was his plan in it? And so as I was preparing to share with you all this morning, I want to give you a little bit of a background. Your elders' wives sit faithfully and pray over you, joy over you and what the women in our church are doing and what God is doing in their lives. But this past season, we sat down together and we said, what do we think the Lord wants us to share with the ladies? How should we do this? And it's interesting that as each one of us have now shared and as we've corporately talked together and prayed together, that we can see that God was directing in that. But our last meeting, we had Jill's session taken care of and the calling. And what a beautiful thing that was. And how encouraging that all of us are called to help. I was just so blessed by that. Thank you. Pam steps in and she says, you know, sinful comparisons, this is something that God's been doing in my heart. And I really feel like we should share it. And it was like this quick little motion picture went by in my mind as I'm listening to Jill about callings. And to me, callings kind of land us in different seasons of our lives. And some of us, I was called for a season to be single. I didn't marry David until I was 25. Then there's a season of being a young mom, a parent. There's a season of launching your adult children, which that's just crazy. Then I'm walking through a season of I have an adult daughter who is a missionary in India. So there's seasons of our lives that when Jill was referring to callings, I thought, you know what? It's flashing. I'm called to be this. I'm called to be that. What does mom look like? What does wife look like that in this time? Pam's sinful comparisons. Boy, do we struggle with that. I'll be honest with you. I can struggle with it right here in this moment because I'm following two fabulous ladies that you go, oh, Jesus. And so we do. It's a real thing that we struggle with. So I'm sitting there. I'll back up again. I'm sorry. A little rabbit trail there. But I'm sitting there, and the Lord just impressed on my heart, in every season, He is faithful. And I looked to Linda Hurd and I said, Linda, I think it would be great if you spoke on in every season He is faithful. Because she's older. Maybe she's been through one more season than me. I don't know. And she just so gracefully looked back to me. And she said, Tammy, I think that's coming from a place in your heart that you need to share. And I went, oh, man, it sure is. It sure is. Got me. Because it does come from a place. It comes from a place for all of us. But for me, there was a time when Linda referred, there's a season of time that the Lord brought David and I through that brought us to Covenant Life Fellowship. And it's part of my testimony. And my testimony, our testimonies are not just stories about us. They're honestly stories about God at work in us. So my story is a real thing. It really happened. But it's not about me. As I look back, it's about what God did in me, through me. So we don't want to negate our story, but we want the focus of our story to be on what God is doing in our lives in and through that. So I went through a very difficult time. My husband pastored in Elkton for 10 years. He did it bivocationally for 7.5 years. And then he was brought on full time. The church decided to financially support him. There was a season of time where we felt the divisiveness coming. And I won't go into it, but there was a rebellion within our fellowship that split our church, and my husband resigned. I never thought I would ever see the day. It was hard for me to understand what God was doing. Why would He have my husband set his business aside, pastor for 10 years, invest deeply into relationships that turned and betrayed us, only to leave us sitting there. I didn't understand. Fast forward. We were sitting in a premarital counseling course with a couple, and we said, ask us anything you want, any question you want. Oh, brother, whose idea was that? Probably David's. He's really good at those random things. And the wife-to-be looks at me and she says, what's your greatest fear? And I went, oh, my goodness. In that moment, I testified to the greatest fear I lived through. And God was faithful to meet me in it. I remember laying in bed thinking, Lord, are you taking everything from us in this? I kind of knew that He was. But He was there. He met us. Fast forward again, He provided. Covenant Life Fellowship. This sweet girl right here is Heather Bendel, and her husband Kai have been dear friends of ours for years. And they are testimony to God's faithfulness in that situation. We came to Covenant Life the week after my husband resigned. I wanted to stay home and just curl up on the couch and watch the Summer Olympics, I'll tell you. I wasn't really ready to step back out there again. But my husband led well. Another provision of God's faithfulness in my life is that I was given a husband that could lead me well in heartache. And he did. We came to Covenant Life the next Sunday. Kai and Heather were sitting a few rows in front of us. We had hoped to sit a little further back, but all y'all like to sit back a ways. So we had to keep moving forward. I'm like, oh, Jesus, no. They're going to see me sitting here and crying. I don't want them. Kai and Heather turned around and looked at us like, what are you guys doing here? We didn't really belong there on a Sunday morning. We had been elsewhere for 10 years. They invited us to lunch. And the story goes on from there. Covenant Life Fellowship was a part of God's provision for his care for us, his faithful care for us in a hard time. And the rawness has worn off, but it's still present. It's an ever-present reminder of not what we went through, but what God did through that. And I am grateful. I am grateful for all of you. There's a part of that that I wouldn't trade the pain. Because ladies, you know that sometimes in our deepest pain, we lean harder in. We don't lean so hard when it's good. We don't need to. And he knows we don't need to. He's still there. But boy, when we are facing some of our most deepest pain, we lean in hard. Because it's only him that can be there for us. And he is faithful. So ladies, when we trust his heart first, we are able to rest in what his hand is doing. We can rest in that, knowing that even when we can't understand it, he will be faithful. He will remain the same. He will keep his promises. So there are three things that, as I look back, that I hope that you will find encouraging. Because we need to be testimonies to one another in our lives of what God is doing. We need to, some of us have taken a few more laps in the marathon we're running. Some of you are just getting started. And look to each other to see God's faithfulness. There are seasons that some of you have yet to face. We know they're coming. But we have yet to face them. Those that have walked through that can testify, not you got this, you can do this, because yes, we can, but he's got you in this. And he will walk you through it. He's the one that will be faithful. Yes, you will get through it because your God is faithful to see you through it. So this morning, I want us to take a quick look at three things that I have found encouraging that have stabilized my emotions in situations. They've given me a steadfast walk of faith that trusts that God will do what he said he will do. And then in the end, we find a maturing of our faith. But those three things, the first one is discovering his faithfulness. We need to go looking for it. We need to look for it in our lives. We need to look for it in each other's lives. But mostly we need to look for it in his word. It's his word here that from cover to cover, he has kept his promises over and over again. There are pushing, from what I understand, 300 covenants, promises of sorts that he has kept over and over and over again. And he will do it. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. I'm going to say we're covered with that. With those who love him and keep his commandments. Ladies, he's also faithful to help us obey him. When we listened to Jill last night, we were all challenged in what does helper mean where I'm at? Ladies, he's faithful to help us be a helper, to obey him in what he's calling us to do. He won't fail us in that if we look to him. In our lives, he is faithful. Faithful to us, to me, to forgive us, to provide for us, and to protect us. Ladies, there are things that we don't get, that don't come our way, because he's protecting us. We think it's what we need, but it's not. Like Pam attested to, he will give us truly what we need because he's protecting us, our provider. The second thing is, so first we're going to discover his faithfulness. We're going to go after it. We're going to go after it in his word. Deep study in his word. Deep study in his word will prove over and over to us again that he is here. All the time present, doing what he said he would do. Second, he's faithful in our lives. So discover it in his word, discover it in our lives, and share that with each other. I sat and had conversation with ladies last night and even this morning that the minute we start talking to each other about what's going on in our lives, we know instantly God has been faithful. God has done what he said he will do beyond what we thought he might do. He has accomplished, and we testify to that in each other's lives. Second, and this is my favorite, this is my sweet spot that I just love to be in. We're going to feed on his faithfulness. Psalms 37:3. We got that one up there? Ladies, this is a good one. Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Sweet. I must be reading out of a different version than that one. I like my version better, sorry. I'm gonna, is that ESV up there?
I hope so.
That's our policy here at CLF. We only do SV. Well, I'm going to be a New King James Version girl, and we're going to feed on his faithfulness, ladies. We're going to feed on it. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. We could spend a whole time together unpacking this verse, but we're just going to camp out and feed on his faithfulness. In a few minutes, I believe that our ladies are going to set up this amazing salad bar for us back there. And we're going to file through, and we're going to dish up a little of this, and a little of that, and a little of this, and a little of that, and we are going to feed on it. And that's what it means, ladies. We've got to remind ourselves over and over again how God has been faithful in our lives and feed on it. Dwell on it. Our minds can dwell on a lot of things, can't they? They can go off to being anxious, being fretful, comparing ourselves. That's not his faithfulness. Feed on it. Find those places and feed on it. There are two places that I, in Scripture, it talks about Ebenezers in 1 Samuel, and it's where they've taken rocks, and I'm going to be this really crazy NIV paraphrase of this, but they take these rocks where God has been a helper to them, and they placed them there. God has been my help right here in this situation. Ladies, we need Ebenezers in our lives. There are moments when we know that he has helped us. He has seen us through. He has provided. He has protected. And those are sacred moments in our hearts. And in a more practical way, I believe that there are people that actually have stones and set them up. But we have scrapbooks. I like scrapbooking. And there are times when you just look back through those scrapbooks and you go, oh my goodness, he was there. I got two mamas sitting over here that I know that they got scrapbooks of hospitals and their little baby girls and how God met them there and how he helped. And I could probably just go all the way through here. And for most of you that I know well, I can find places where I know God helped you and where I know that he provided for you something special. And if you're in the middle of something right now, he will provide something special for you. He will be your help in that. That is our great God. So we feed on it, don't we, ladies? Feed on his faithfulness. If we feed on his faithfulness, we look for the gospel and his glory in our lives every day. We see the evidence of it in our walk with him. We'll see his hand at work in each other's lives, and it will be a tremendous encouragement, won't it? Because it is hard. If we're looking at the situation all the time, it's going to be really tough. We've got to look elsewhere. We have to look to the heart of our God. The last one is the fruit of his faithfulness. It will produce fruit. His faithfulness in our lives will produce fruit. And I could go down the line, lots and lots of fruit. But I have picked four that I have come to find to be very, very helpful. Patience is the first one. Found in James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. Ah, that perfect work. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Second one is wisdom. His faithfulness will produce wisdom. James 1:5, the next verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. How many times have we gone to him asking for direction, wisdom, in the middle of uncertainty, and we've seen him answer it? No, most likely we didn't get the big booming voice we had hoped for. But somehow in a situation of events that transpired, or a friend that called, or a conversation, we got wisdom. But ladies, we get it right here. More than anything, it's in his word. The fruit of his faithfulness in going to his word is the wisdom that we get to face each and every season of our lives and each and every situation. Across the board. His word is what's powerful. It's what speaks. I can stand here and I can share my testimony. I can give you my opinion and my thoughts. But I know full well it's the power of his word that's going to change your heart, that's going to encourage you, that's going to speak to you. And that's where we got to go. So the fruit of his faithfulness and wisdom. The third one is hope. I'm going to start reading. It's Romans 5, 3 through 5, but I'm going to start reading to you in verse 1. 3 through 5 will show up there, I think. And I hope I'm reading ESV and not, I don't know what I'm reading. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen? There's the gospel right there. We've got it. Forgiven, justified, right with Christ. Standing before him. But if that isn't enough, we're going to go on to verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produce endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out, been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So ladies, as we go back to the salad bar, when you get your dressing, you're going to be pouring your dressing. His love has been poured out into our hearts. We have that hope. When the situation is hopeless, our hope is in him. He is our hope. That suffering that produces endurance, that endurance that produces character, is hard territory. It is. It's painful. But he is good, is he not? He's faithful to see us through it and to bring us to the other side, and we rejoice. The last one that I'm going to touch on in the fruit of his faithfulness is our confidence in him. Our confidence in him matters. Not in our situation, not in that we will get through this, but in that he has a purpose for it, that he has a plan. Philippians 1:6 says this, I am sure of this. There's our confidence. Ladies, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, in me, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Our confidence is that he has set out to do a work in our lives. The ultimate goal is Christ-likeness. That is his purpose in what he wants to do in our lives. He's setting out to do it, and he will accomplish it. And we have that great confidence, don't we? And ladies, our seasons to close, our seasons have purpose. We have seen that we can discover his faithfulness in his word. We see it in our lives. We see it in each other's lives, and we testify to it. I hope this afternoon that you will look at each other and go, how has God been faithful in your life? And we will testify to that. It is amazing, and it will stir our hearts. It will give us such great joy and such great confidence that he is at work in our lives and others, that there's no greater blessing than to see what God is at work doing. But we feed on his faithfulness. Ladies, camp out there. Remind yourselves of it all the time and watch the fruit of it in your lives. And those of you that we have husbands that are also going to experience, those of us that are married, we have husbands that are going to experience the fruit of his faithfulness in our lives. We have children that will experience it, not just young children, but we have adult children. And some of you are sitting here blessed to sit with your adult children. What a sweet thing to see what God has done and that you share that together. There are some of you that sit here knowing that God is everything to you, because right now he's all you've got and he's all you need. So enjoy the fruit of his faithfulness in your life. Watch it work. But ladies, our seasons to close, our seasons have purpose. And I have a final quote up here by Arthur W. Pink that has meant a great deal to me. It causes us to let go of everything, trying to figure it out, wondering what he's doing, and trust him. It says, when we trustfully resign ourselves and all our affairs into God's hands, fully persuaded of his love and faithfulness, the sooner we shall be satisfied with his providences and realize that he doeth all things well. All things well. Great is thy faithfulness. In the hills and the valleys, in the chaos of our lives, he will meet us there. And our souls can say, it is well. Amen. Thank you, ladies. We're going to close our time this morning. Laura and Kelsey are going to come and lead us in a song that is dear to my heart. As we declare, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. In the dark of the night, in the sleeplessness of the night, the morning will come and he will meet us there. Fresh mercies, not stale, not day old, new ones that he knows we need for the day to love on us, because he paid the most ultimate price for us. We're that dear to him. So ladies, let's stand together and sing, and thank you.
This sermon has been proudly given in response to Cherishing the Gospel of Jesus Christ. For more sermons and information about Covenant Life Fellowship, please visit us at www.clfroseburg.com.